Hello, everyone. It's Corinne. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I am filled with gratitude. We were just laughing before we started recording that this is like our collective reset button. So I'm so grateful for you being here and for those of you who are listening in. Let's begin our time together with pausing. So if we're in a place that is most anything other than driving, where we have to keep our eyes open, if we're able to just briefly close our eyes, turning our attention within, and joining together in this quiet, still space that we all share. Each one of our choices to go to this place, our collective choice to go to this quiet place within oneself, is helping the rest of us. Our commitment to turning within and to listening is healing, not just for us, but for others as well. So taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. Releasing anything that we've been carrying throughout the day. And with another breath in and out, releasing everything that we think that we've needed to do or take care of on our own. Releasing everything we've done without spirit, everything we've thought without spirit, releasing it all to spirit, and asking instead for the miracle, asking instead for the shift in perception to show us that we are not alone. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives, and we gladly and willingly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And again, taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. And with the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Oh, it's amazing for me. I shared before we started recording that I slipped into a state of overwhelm today and feeling like I had to do a lot of things all by myself. And it's amazing just how in pausing and bringing our minds to that place within, it's amazing just how quickly we can feel a difference in our own minds. So with that, we are reading about peace tonight, specifically the obstacles to peace, and the first obstacle is the desire to get rid of it, which is funny to me. So this is, you can find this if you have the Sparkle Edition on page 459. Again, it's the subheading, obstacles to peace, the desire to get rid of it. That corresponds to the Course in Miracles Society original edition, Chapter 19, Part 5, Section A. And that also corresponds to the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, Chapter 19, Part 4, Section A. The first obstacle, the desire to get rid of it. So it might be hard to believe that there's part of our own mind that wants to get rid of peace. But if you think about it this way, we've talked a lot about the two parts of our mind, the ego part, which is the small self, versus our higher mind, our right mind, the place where Holy Spirit abides. Holy Spirit is peace. That is who we really are. The ego doesn't want anything to do with that part of the mind, because if the ego knows that if we saw ego for what it is, which is nothing, we'd stop listening to it in a second and just be in the peace that we are. And because it really wants our attention, there's part of me that really loves being Corinne. That's the part that is turning away from the peace. So keep that in mind as we're reading. So obstacles to peace, the desire to get rid of it. The first obstacle that peace must flow across is your desire to get rid of it. For it cannot extend unless you keep it. You are the center from which it radiates outward to call the others in. You are its home, its tranquil dwelling place, from which it gently reaches out, but never leaving you. If you would make it homeless, how can it abide within the Son of God? If it would spread across the whole creation, it must begin with you, and from you reach to everyone who calls and bring him rest by joining you. Wow. So I'll just begin, and then as always, I want to pause and open this up if anybody has any thoughts or comments or insights or examples. This paragraph hits me. The first sentence, of course, that the first obstacle peace must flow across is our desire to get rid of it. So there it's prompting us to look at our own resistance. But this next sentence, peace cannot extend unless you keep it. You are the center from which it radiates outward to call the others in. You are its home, its tranquil dwelling place from which it gently reaches out but never leaving you. If you would make it homeless, how can it abide within the Son of God? So we have to keep that peace in order for that peace to be extended. That's one of those paradoxes, again, and it goes against the thinking of the world, where the thinking of the world is if you, you know, give something away, you lose it. Here, it's clearly saying that you have to keep it to let it extend. You have to allow that peace to have a home within you. So it's up to us. Again, this is where it takes me back to that quote, the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept atonement for him or herself, for ourselves. So it's our job as miracle workers to do this inner work, because we are making this space for peace. We are making this home for peace. And from there, that's how it extends outward. So it's this inside job that we have to do of looking with Holy Spirit at our fear blocks, our judgments, all those things that would keep peace out. So what's hitting you in this paragraph? What is jumping out at you, or any examples so far?
This is Franny.
Big. Good stuff.
The word desire, it's hard for me to believe that I actually desire to get rid of it, but it's telling me actually to look out for that for my own wanting to get rid of it and to be on the lookout for that. That's what I'm hearing or reading in this. Like, I like to think, oh, of course I want peace. That's the only thing I want. But what this is saying is, no, be even more honest. What about the times when you really, really don't want it? So it's sort of waving a flag saying, you've got to pay attention to something else that might be going on in your mind. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally, totally agree with you, Franny, that we do have to be, this is where that vigilance and that watching the mind for, as the Course calls it in the FIP edition, tiny scraps of fear, in the Sparkle and Original editions, it's called tiny scraps of meanness. So these tiny little, you know, thoughts that aren't peaceful, that are attacking, that, you know, and again, the attack can be a socially acceptable target, like, for instance, politics. You know, both sides have their feelings about the other sides. And so that right there is just such, I think, an easy to relate to example of our desire to throw away peace because we want to be right. Our argument about how things should be, you know, is the right way, and we're going to cast the stone and point the finger at the other side. But I'm totally resonating with what you're saying, Franny, because we do have to look and be on the lookout for all of that, even in these cases where it's seemingly socially acceptable to attack and defend and to engage in that.
Yeah, that's interesting, Corinne, talking about the socially acceptable side of it. I hadn't seen that, but that's a great place to look for it.
Yeah, yep. The world, the ego would smile approvingly there. Mm. Like, yeah, just, you know, be peaceful everywhere else, but here it's okay to attack.
Right.
And I'm sure we can think of other places, too, you know, where it's socially acceptable like that. So,
yeah,
this is about watching our minds. And that's where this work as miracle workers and light workers, we're asked to watch our minds in order to accept the undoing of fear in our minds. So it's an inward job that we're doing. Bless you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you, Franny. Any other comments or questions so far before we move on?
I think one that the thing that I have become aware of, at least this weekend, is the feeling of uncertainty that will throw me into, that desire to get rid of it, because I feel so uncertain. And when I don't feel confident, and when I feel uncertain about maybe my future or whatever, I become fearful.
Paula, that's so big.
It is big.
I'll let you finish. Please.
No, but that's it. It's big. It's very big. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because you don't even recognize it unless you take the time with Holy Spirit and it becomes apparent, you know. Because really asking Holy Spirit, listen, help me, what is this, and help me shift out of it, help me to get to the bottom of this, because obviously what's happening in front of me really isn't the issue. What's behind this? And, you know, working with the Holy Spirit, it's that I really got this awful feeling of uncertainty. So there you go.
That's big, and I'm so glad that you brought that up, Paula, because I think that, again, especially with, like, the political climate right now in the States, there's a lot of uncertainty, and so there's a lot of fear, which then, you know, it's that ongoing cycle then of fear and attack and blame. But the uncertainty piece is a beautiful thing for us to be able to become aware of, with this mind watching, like we were just talking about, as Franny was mentioning, that if we're uncertain, the Course says the presence of fear is the sure sign you're trusting in your own strength. So any uncertainty that's coming up based on something outside of ourselves, we're looking to the wrong teacher. We're looking to the world. We're trying to find certainty in a world where there is none. There is no certainty here. The only place where we can find that certainty is in God, is in Spirit, Holy Spirit, Jesus, inner guide, inner teacher, any word that you feel comfortable using. That's where we look for our certainty. And as we release these fearful perceptions and fear blocks in our minds, that certainty, imagine just what it's like walking around this world being certain, regardless of the outcome around us.
Oh, wow. My God.
As the Course says, if you knew who walks beside you on the way that you have chosen, fear would be impossible. If we knew for like a millionth of a fraction of that certainty, if we knew who walked beside us, fear would be impossible. We're increasing that fraction exponentially every time we become willing to turn to Holy Spirit. We're learning that that certainty, that knowing of who walks beside us is growing. And that's where our certainty comes from. We cannot find certainty in this world. Everything. And I don't mean to sound doom and gloom, but it's true. Everything in this world is changing. Nothing in this world lasts forever. We can't find certainty here, period. We've got to look within. We've got to look within. And we're all learning that certainty. We've all shared such incredible, incredible examples of touching this certainty that is therefore strengthening it in the rest of us. Were you going to add something, Paula?
I think what happens is the ego kicks in and you want to, what I was doing is just justifying everything and, you know, going into this drama around it. And the most powerful thing is to really just sit with it, you know, and turn it over and be willing to give it to Holy Spirit. And honestly, I just find it to be the shift that takes place when I'm willing to do that instead of, you know, getting into the drama.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, I agree.
Can I just jump in? Paula, are you saying,
please,
like, just to sit with it? Is that where you're saying I sit with it non-judgmentally and look at it with spirit? Is that
absolutely
the same idea? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That is it exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the judgments that block Holy Spirit's ability to help us, you know, shift that awful perception, whatever it is.
Yep.
Boy, you really put it perfectly.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, well, thank you for bringing this up. Did I hear Deidre?
Yeah, this discussion is just reminding me of the course lesson from, like, I think it was a day or two ago. God did not create a meaningless world. It's just a reminder to me, at least when I was doing the lesson, that, you know, Spirit doesn't create any of this craziness that we think that we see out there. And that, Corinne, you were talking a week or so ago about some family members that went through bankruptcy and how they were given everything that they needed through other means, through other people. And there's been so many times in my life where I've had fear around lack or whatever, and despite the feeling, the fear, having the willingness to go, okay, Holy Spirit, here you go. And next thing you know, all our needs are provided for, or what I think I needed shows up, or whatever it is. And as you were talking about the political climate in the States right now, I can't help but think of that, okay, the picture looks like, you know, there's all this fear, and the picture looks like there might not be enough. But which teacher are we listening to then? Like, who's the source? Mm-hmm. What is the source of our security and safety? It's God, right? Mm-hmm. So the moment we go there, then we know that all our needs are going to be taken care of. And so the whole discussion tonight just made me think of that. Yeah.
Awesome, Deidre. Thank you. Yeah, you know, I feel blessed. As hard as it has been or was, it wasn't hard at the same time for those family members who went through that. And I'm talking about two different family members who both at different times went through bankruptcy and foreclosure and, you know, all that, and just the ease at which through trust, through getting these yeah, just through being completely taken care of, it just has removed a lot of fear for me in getting to learn and witness the miracles that they experienced and seeing how that certainty really does come from within and that what we need will be provided. So thank you, Deidre, for adding that.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. Let's read the next paragraph. Why would you want peace homeless? That's a great question. Why would you want peace homeless? What do you think that it must dispossess to dwell within you? What seems to be the cost you are so unwilling to pay? The little barrier of sand still stands between you. Would you reinforce it now? You are not asked to let it go for yourselves alone. Christ asks it of you for himself. He would bring peace to everyone, and how can he do this except through you? Would you let a little bank of sand, a wall of dust, a tiny seeming barrier stand between your brothers and salvation? And yet, it is this little remnant of attack you cherish, still against each other, that is the first obstacle the peace in you encounters in going forth. The little wall of hatred would still oppose the will of God and keep it limited. What comes up for me, this little remnant of attack that it's talking about is, again, what comes to mind, as I mentioned already, the quotes, you know, about the scraps of meanness, the scraps of fear, but also that quote, do you prefer that you be right or happy? Those urges to want to be the one to win the argument, to be right, to prove the other wrong, an ego argument are examples of that come up for me. And it's talking here about how, I love how it says the little barrier of sand still stands between you. So this seeming block that we've put up between love and our awareness of it is a little barrier of sand. Think about a little, you know, pile of sand on the beach and how you can blow it away, you know, just by blowing at it, how you can just brush it away. It's nothing. And it says, would you reinforce it now? Meaning, are we going to reinforce the fears now by plugging more fear into it, by listening to that ego voice, by listening to lack, by thinking that we have to have safety in the external world in order for us to be okay? It's prompting us, we're not asked to let go of this little pile of sand for ourselves alone. This is, again, that idea that when you're healed, you're not healed alone. We're all doing this to help each other. And I love how it goes on to say, Christ asks it of you for himself. He would bring peace to everyone, and how can he do this except through you? Isn't that beautiful? Any thoughts coming up for anyone?
I think it seems to be saying, you know, a little barrier of sand, a little bank of sand, a wall of dust, a tiny seeming barrier. It should be easy to cross this barrier. Like, I'm seeing ease. I think Jesus is saying, this actually can be easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a huge, solid wall that I'm asking you to cross.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, yeah, and you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, 100%. You know what, it'll go in three paragraphs from now, the first sentence is, to overcome the world is no more difficult than to surmount your little wall. Hmm. So this tiny pile of sand, that there is that sense of ease, that is the ease at which we can see this world completely differently, that we can have that awareness of love be completely restored to us. We have to remember this during those times, and I've been here myself when I'm like, this feels so freaking hard.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
little
yeah.
tiny wall seems like a rock solid barrier yeah. that's just insurmountable. And that, again, is where we have to just go back into our willingness and know that any voice that's telling us that anything is insurmountable, number one, is the voice of the ego. And it can all be shifted in a moment, in an instant. That's all it takes. That's all the time it takes for a miracle to make that shift. And I was going to add something else, and it'll come back. It slipped my mind. But does anything come up for anyone else?
Holy Spirit,
this
is what comes up when you say this, because I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What comes up? Oh, I'm sorry. Were you finished, Paula?
Yes.
Okay. What comes up for me is just those times where you're feeling that the wall is insurmountable, like it's too big, right? But then that's all in the intellectual thinking about it and anticipating. But once you let go and trust, that's when it becomes effortless. Like there's no, and then you see how easy it was to let go, and that there was nothing to fear to begin with. That's been my experience, is that the worst part is like the mental torture before letting go. But once you let go, you discover that you were really safe all along.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
And that is a process.
Yeah.
It is.
That is a process.
It is. Because of our own resistance. That's what I was going to say before when I sort of lost my train of thought a little bit. Going back to the sentence that we started with, the first obstacle that peace must flow across is your desire to get rid of it. There's part of me that loves being Corinne. And that part is the part that wants any seeming barrier to stay in place, because I want to keep these quote-unquote fun and games going. So that's all that requires, again, is just willingness to look at. It's nothing even that we don't have to worry about our own level of resistance, because just like Paula said before, the Holy Spirit does the shift for us as we allow Holy Spirit to step, you know, to be the one in charge instead of us being the ones to do it.
Can I throw something in here? Something that's been occurring to me lately is the Holy Spirit is not some mystery. It is me. It is
mm-hmm.
the true me. It is
mm-hmm.
it is it is not the ego.
Mm-hmm.
It is who we are in truth.
It's just remembering that is difficult sometimes.
Oh, my God in heaven, you said it.
So true. But, Paula, I love how you said that with such simplicity, that the Holy Spirit is the true me. It's me wanting to get through to me. It's the true me. So it's. I love how you said that. There's no mystery there. It's not outside of ourselves. It's not this other thing that's trying to impose some foreign will. It's me. It's the true us, the true me.
Yeah.
Thank you
that's
for that,
good.
Paula.
That's
that
good news.
It's such good news. Why would we be afraid of ourselves, right?
Because we feel we're not worth it.
Yeah,
right.
That we've been taught a lot of craziness, haven't we?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And it sneaks in all the time when you're least expecting it.
Oh, boy, does it ever.
It does. And yet when it sneaks in, again, with this vigilance, with this mind watching, that's instead of it sneaking in to do its thing, you know, to reinforce its negative beliefs, now in repurposing the body and repurposing our lives upon, you know, for waking up instead of staying asleep, when it sneaks in, then it becomes an opportunity to look at it with Holy Spirit. It becomes an opportunity to bring it out into the light, to be transformed.
You know,
and for me, each time you do that, that is part of the process that reinforces what you really know intellectually and you're accepting little by little.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, beautiful. I agree. Who else did I hear? I know I heard another voice.
It was Deidre. I just
Deidre,
wanted
go
to,
for it.
to add that that's something that's been really helpful in my practice of just watching the mind. When the thoughts come up that are not the true me, just to catch that and to remember that those thoughts are not me. Those thoughts are not me. And it's so helpful because it's like resetting time in a way, because the Course talks about, you know, there not being any linear time, but I feel like the moment I'm able to recognize that, oh, there's my barometer, and I was going down, sliding down the staircase or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then just the recognition that, oh, that's not me, it just automatically resets itself.
Yeah.
It's so much easier not to stay in it when you catch it and, oh, that's not me. Like even the thoughts, and Craig Villarubia talked about this recently. He's doing a beautiful review series of review videos of the workbook lessons. So at the end of the week on Saturday, he does a review of the previous week, and just to me, it's such a beautiful way of letting yourself off the hook, because those thoughts are not you. Your thoughts are not you. Those thoughts that want to dangle carrots in front of you are not you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I love that, Deidre. Yeah, it's so helpful. And what you just said about it's not me, like that lets you off the hook.
Yeah.
That's perfect, because otherwise what's the alternative? Guilt, right? Then it just becomes, it's like, oh, I'm thinking all these horrible things. And then all that does is add more fuel to the ego, because then, you know, because the guilt feeds the ego. So letting yourself off the hook that this isn't me, is also another way of, you know, stepping back from more quote-unquote gifts of ego, which would be the guilt. So thank you for adding that, Deidre. That was so helpful. Awesome. How about we read the next paragraph? I think I'm at the Holy Spirit's purpose, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. The Holy Spirit's purpose rests in peace within you, yet you are still unwilling to let it join you wholly. You still oppose the will of God by just a little, and that little is a limit you would place upon the whole. God's will is one, not many. It has no opposition, for there is none beside it. What you would still contain behind your little barrier and keep separate from each other seems mightier than the universe, for it would hold back the universe and its creator. This little wall would hide the purpose of heaven and keep it from heaven. I'm going to read the next paragraph too. Would you thrust salvation away from the giver of salvation? For such have you become. Peace could no more depart from you than from God. I want to read that sentence again. Peace could no more depart from you than from God. Fear not this little obstacle. It cannot contain the will of God. Peace will flow across it and join you without hindrance. Salvation cannot be withheld from you. It is your purpose. You cannot will apart from this. You have no purpose apart from each other, nor apart from the one you ask the Holy Spirit to share with you. The little wall will fall away so quietly beneath the wings of peace. For peace will send its messengers from you to all the world. And barriers will fall away before their coming, as easily as those which you would interpose will be surmounted. The first thing that comes to mind for me that I'll share, and then I think I heard a breath in, so if anybody else has anything to share or to add, please jump right in. These two paragraphs that we just read, if I had to sum this up in a sentence, it's saying you have nothing to worry about. Don't worry about anything, because number one, it says the Holy Spirit's purpose rests in peace within you, and that there is no opposition to God's love, to God's will. That sentence that I read twice, peace could no more depart from you than from God. How big is that? That peace of God is in you right now. And if it doesn't seem like it's there, it's just because we're turned away from it. We're not listening to only the voice of Holy Spirit. We still fluctuate. We still vacillate. I still vacillate. I've talked about having one foot in the ego's camp and one foot in Holy Spirit's camp. Nook Sanchez uses the image of having one foot in the ego's canoe and the other foot in the Holy Spirit's canoe, and how stable is it to have 2 feet in 2 different boats? It's not a stable place. And so if we're not experiencing the peace of God consistently, it's simply just because we're still seemingly vacillating. We do have to remember that the Course, again, this is where it gets challenging to talk about non-duality and how there's only love when we're in a seeming state of duality. This has all been undone. We're already home. We're already safe. We're already healed. We're already whole. We just have to accept that. We just have to accept that. So this has been done already. So like I said, these two paragraphs to me just reinforce this idea that we have nothing we have to worry about. Just turn to the Holy Spirit, and everything, all of our mistaken perceptions will be undone in the moment that we're willing to let them go, because they have been undone already.
You know, what really seems, just speaking for myself, what I find to be so helpful, because the mind chatter can really seem almost impossible to turn off. And that's where either yoga or meditation or a good walk at the beach, just being outside, whatever I can do, you know, to shut that thing up.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, and that's beautiful, right? Then any activity then, also, when we give our lives over to Holy Spirit, any activity that we engage in, we're doing it with a different purpose now.
Yeah.
Rather than it being a grand distraction or something, again, to keep us focused in ego, it can be used by Holy Spirit to help us remember, to help us wake up. So I agree, Paula. There's things like that that help me too, including being with my chickens.
Oh.
They bring me such joy.
Oh.
They're so funny.
And Lucy's on my lap right now. Same thing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it.
I'd like to say something that, you know, that little line there in paragraph 4, fear not this little obstacle. And then I associate that with the very first line we read tonight, the first obstacle that peace must flow across is your desire to get rid of it. It's just very comforting to know that, hey, I know this is an obstacle, but look, it's really tiny. Don't worry about it. Kind of reinforcing what you're saying, Corinne. There's nothing to worry about. And that line is saying that, hey, this is an obstacle, but you know what? It's a really small one. Don't worry about it. Be mindful, but don't even worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Franny, I love how you made that connection. That's so... That really strikes me. Fear not this little obstacle. Fear not... Your desire to get rid of peace. Fear not that little obstacle of your desire to get rid of it.
Yeah,
I love that. I love
very
how you
reassuring.
Made that connection.
That's reassuring.
It is. It is. It's reassuring to me too. Yeah. We don't. And again, that what also comes up for me too is this. Again, idea of reinforcing, you don't have to feel guilty about your resistance. You don't have to feel guilty that, I don't have to feel guilty that there's part of me that loves being Corinne playing these games.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
We don't have to worry about it. It's a tiny little obstacle that we don't have to worry about at all. Awesome. Thank you for that, Brandy. That was really, really very helpful. How about we keep reading? To overcome the world is no more difficult than to surmount your little wall. For in the miracle of your relationship, without this barrier, is every miracle contained. There is no order of difficulty in miracles, for they are all the same. Each is a gentle winning over from the appeal of guilt to the appeal of love. How can this fail to be accomplished wherever it is undertaken? Guilt can raise no real barriers against it. And all that seems to stand between you must fall away because of the appeal you answered. For from you who answered, he who answered, you would call. His home is in your holy relationship. Do not attempt to stand between him and his holy purpose, for it is yours. But let him quietly extend the miracle of your relationship to everyone contained in it as it was given. I'm particularly struck by the first few sentences in this paragraph. To overcome the world is no more difficult than to surmount your little wall. So now here, as I mentioned, I mentioned the sentence earlier. Now here, this little wall that is a pile of sand, to surmount that is no more difficult than to surmount the entire world. For in the miracle of your relationship without this barrier is every miracle contained. There's no order of difficulty in miracles, for they're all the same. And then this sentence, each is a gentle winning over from the appeal of guilt to the appeal of love. How can this fail to be accomplished wherever it is undertaken? So again, to me, there's that reassurance that we have nothing to worry about, that love always, always, I almost feel like wins isn't the right word, but love is. Love is all there is. Love is all there is.
Well, I think it's interesting how he takes us through this whole process here and what it always comes down to, and it's such a relief to me when I remember it, is, oh, I just need a miracle. That's all I need is a miracle. Mm-hmm. And that's how he finishes this paragraph. That's all you need. Get out of the way. Out of the way. But boy, sometimes
that
resistance.
Paula.
Yeah, that's all we ever need in any situation that throws us
Let
off.
We don't need to do anything to make truth be true. We just need to get out of the way. Let truth, it'll extend, that love will extend of itself because that's what it is. All we have to do is get out of the way. I love that, Paula. Thank you for that. Let's keep reading. We might even finish this section tonight. There is a hush in... Oh, I'm sorry. Was somebody going to say something? I thought I heard something. Okay. There is a hush in heaven, a happy expectancy, a little pause of gladness, an acknowledgement of the journey's end. For heaven knows you well as you know heaven. No illusions stand between you now. Look not upon the little wall of shadows. The sun has risen over it. How can a shadow keep you from the sun? No more can you be kept by shadows from the light in which illusions end. Every miracle is but the end of an illusion. Such was the journey, such its ending. And in the goal of truth, which you accepted, must all illusions end. How beautiful is that? when we think, this is striking me now with just, again, this idea of this wall and how we set at times, you know, it feels so real and so insurmountable. And how can I possibly, you know, undo all these fears and blocks in my mind, blah, blah. This is saying, do not look upon the little wall of shadows. The sun has risen over it. How can a shadow keep you from the sun? So there, that is again sort of reinforcing this idea that we don't have anything, there's nothing that we have to do aside from our willingness of just turning to Spirit, that Holy Spirit does it for us. Holy Spirit is that light as truth shines on, as we allow truth to shine on things, shadows can't remain. Our job is just to get out of the way. Every miracle is but the end of an illusion.
And that makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Right?
That's the only thing that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because all of the craziness is an illusion. And
mm-hmm.
all we need is a miracle, because that shifts us out of the illusion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well said, Paula. Let's keep reading.
Corinne?
Yeah.
This is Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hi. I have a comment, and also at the same time, I don't know whether, well, I'll just say it the way it would. One of the things I think I went back to the beginning lessons again, and you know, I think lesson 4 actually relates to, you know, the thoughts that come up and over, it's almost like overlooking them, forgiving them. And I say that, and at the same time, it's, I guess I ask, well, what do you do with the feelings that are coming up? And I think I know, I think it just takes more willingness. And I mean, but when I seem to be stuck in that rut that the feelings are there, and it feels like, oh, my God, it feels so real, and I can't get out of the way. I think that's where trust in the Holy Spirit and development of trust needs to be really, what would be the word, developed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to
yeah,
keep our focus,
you know,
on it.
Say that again?
We need to keep our focus on, personally, I find just keeping my focus on this material.
Right.
Instead of focusing on all the craziness of the world.
Yeah, you know, that's where what we just read. Look not upon the little wall of shadows, the sun has risen over it. It almost makes me think, you know, Angela, you were talking about feelings and how just those feelings feel so real, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you that this is where, you know, our development in trust in the Holy Spirit will help us, and how we do just need willingness when we're stuck in that rut. I completely agree with what you were saying. This idea of the sun rising over it, you know, our feelings, the Course says, you know, it says something, I can't remember the line, if anybody can remember this, it's like, you know, like your feelings will tell you, like that's like the one right use of judgment is like, you know, based on how you feel. I can't think of the exact wording. Therefore, if we're feeling anything but pure peace, we need a miracle, right? We need that shift, because if we're feeling anything other than pure happiness and peace, we're listening to ego or vacillating. We haven't fully made up our mind yet. And here, perhaps, is a place when we feel that rut, or when we feel stuck in our feelings, or when our feelings are really, really intense and just feel so overpowering, if we can remember even our feelings, we can look at those as like that block in a way, you know, when they're like really intense, overpowering feelings. I'm thinking, for instance, for me, it would be anxiety. It says, look not upon the little wall of shadows. So look not upon that little wall of those feelings. The sun has risen over it. So here is a place where can we pause and rest in Holy Spirit? Can we let Holy Spirit rise us above the battleground? Or another way of saying it, as I said it before, is can we just sort of drop beneath our problem and rest in stillness rather than being swept up into the constant craziness, you know, that the chaos just of the world and of our situations that show up. So I just wanted to throw that out there, too, about remembering really to pause, to take a breather. Like Paula said before, using any activity that we might enjoy, like going for a walk or getting outside, doing something different to help us shift our minds away from the wall of shadows, away from the seeming problem, to give us some breathing space so we can turn to Holy Spirit instead, so we can remember that the sun has risen over this.
You
so,
know,
I don't know if that's helpful.
It does help. I'm just going to add is I think what happens is that I'll be honest, is when the need is really, really great, then it's like the teacher shows up, because I used to listen, and I think the name of your website and all is From Anxiety to Love, and I'd say, no, I don't know. I don't have any anxiety, and that's not true. And so this past week, with everything that's been going on, and I feel like the grieving of my sister's death has really kicked in. Now I'm at that stage where, you know, it's more intense. At any rate, I, you know, and forgive me for saying death. I guess you are where you are, and I'm working through it. But I'm just commenting to say yes. When you do something different, because I knew, okay, I'm at work. I feel like I'm having an anxiety attack. I don't know for sure. And what can I do differently? And I did do something differently. I talked to someone that I felt great trusted, a short conversation, and they suggested, well, you have your head full. Can you listen to something that's going to rebalance you? And so I went to my, whatever it was, my list, and I just, stopping the train that's just going by, and it's almost like I'm just in a bubble where it feels like I can't get out. And I think I just, one of my issues is, and thank you for your patience, is safety. And I have not turned to the Holy Spirit for safety, because I put my safety in this body, the material world. I put my safety in all the things, you know. And when those things don't work, then the need is great. And then I say, okay, you know. So I thank you, and I thank you so many times. I'm at work, and I re-listen to the call, or I listen to something that I'm at work and I need to be at work, and I'm focusing on paperwork, and at the same time, I can't, my mind's just going. So that's what I got. Thank you.
Oh, Angela, thank you so much. And the fact that you just articulated what you articulated, the fact that you can see, and we all do this, you are not alone in this, I do this too, for us to be able to see that we are placing our safety in our body, in the material mm-hmm. world, in our money, in our locks, on our doors, or on our car, like the fact that it's a gift now that we're able to see that that's where we're placing our safety. And it doesn't mean doing, you know, this work right now doesn't mean like, oh, I'm wrong that I'm placing my safety in that. I have to stop. You know, I need to sleep every night now with my doors unlocked. That's not, that's not what this is saying, and that's not what we're asked to do. We're asked to see it And again, to take it to Holy Spirit, to be willing to see it differently, because we're slowly learning. Some of us faster than others. For me, it's like, you know, baby step miracle by baby step miracle. We're learning that our safety lies in God and God only. We're learning that if we do place safety in our body or in the material world, you know, that's ultimately going to let us down. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that you can see that now and that we can all see that now is beautiful, because we can say, hey, Holy Spirit, it feels like a really strong pile of sand that my safety depends on my body's health, or my safety depends on my retirement account. This feels like a really heavy-duty pile of sand. I'm willing to look at this with you, you know, because when it comes up, when we can see it clearly, that's our opportunity to take it to the light. That's our opportunity to take it to Holy Spirit. So it's a beautiful thing that you can see that, and it's nothing to feel guilty about. It's coming up because it's an opportunity to bring it to Holy Spirit, for us to learn, for all of us to learn, that our safety lies in truth. And the Course, I think that's an actual Course quote, your safety lies in truth, not in lies. Identify with love and you are safe. Identify with love and you are whole. Identify with love and find yourself. I'm pretty sure that's about
that's it.
What
that's a great
the
one.
Quote of the Course. So,
that's the quote.
That's what we're learning. That's why we're doing this work. So how blessed are we now that we can see this and do something about it, you know, when we see that we're placing our safety in the body? How wonderful is it that we have this tool, this spiritual scaffolding to help us work with that? Because how much scarier is it if you don't have something, you know, like this to rely on, and you know, then how much scarier is that? So I'm so grateful for what you just shared, for this pathway, for all of you, because we're helping each other home.
Wonderful.
So thank you, Angela.
Thank you very much.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. We are at the top of our time, so we'll finish off this section next week. And just thank you from the bottom of my heart for showing up. I love you all. Have a great night, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.